We serve an awesome God. Amen. Amen. So tonight I want to take on an interesting topic, or at least I think it's an interesting topic, and I think it's something that impacts us because it's about Christ. Last year, towards the end of the year, I decided I wanted to spend some time with some new young Christians. So got hold of a friend of mine, and I got into sort of a young people's life group. So it's sort of people, matric, varsity, just out of school, similar ages or maybe a little bit younger than myself. And initially when I went there, it was a little bit dead. Things weren't really happening, but I wanted to spend time with young Christians. And 1 week, they really started dedicating themselves to prayer, and God just like turned the fire back on. And it was a wonderful time for me, because just sometimes seeing that fire again gets your fire burning. And those guys have now really become good friends and really encouraged me. I needed a little bit of encouragement towards the end of last year, and I really got something special from God, received something special from God there. And one of the things that really stuck out for me was somebody kind of saying that Christ was a little bit controversial. He was a little bit different than what people expected. He did things that made people feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I thought, well, is the Christianity we're experiencing today the same? Then there's this guy, Jefferson Bethke, or however you say his name. He came out with a poem a few years ago called Jesus Greater Than Religion. And it really kind of challenged the notion of what the church is perceived to be and who Jesus is. And really saying that Jesus is greater than any religious thing we could do. But I'm going to jump into that a little bit later. To start off, I'm going to kind of steal from what Kirsty did on Friday. I'm going to ask a question. So tonight, yeah, I might need everybody's participation. And the question we asked on Friday is, what is a Christian? So I'd like you to answer the question. What is a Christian? So Auntie Yvonne, a follower of Christ. Pastor Dave, a disciple. Mr. Philip, believes in the word. Uncle Conrad, born again. Power. Anthony. The way we act rather than the way we speak. Something interesting. Each and every single one of us that I asked gave us a different answer. What does the world say a Christian is? Often the way the world looks at Christian is a lot different. The world will see a Christian as a hypocrite, a do-gooder. To be a Christian, I can't drink. I can't have sex. I can't do a whole bunch of things. I can't have an abortion. I can't be gay. That's how the world sees Christian. They see all the things that we stand against rather than all the things that we stand for. And for me, that's concerning. Because that means me as a Christian, I'm not portraying the correct image of Christ that I should be. If the person outside knows me for what I'm against rather than what I'm for. I mean, our own vision as a church is to love the Lord our God and to make His love known. The early Christians, I think it's in John chapter 32, it says that they were known, John 13:32, that they were known by their love, not by what they stood against. So yeah, straying away from my notes a little bit. Sometimes Christianity is just viewed as a worldview, something where we just fit in. Almost like a moral standard that we would agree to follow. A thing of convenience. You go to school, and most of the kids at school are Christian, so they ask you, so what are you? No, I'm Christian. Grew up in a Christian family. I went to a Christian church. I have friends that call themselves Christian. Well, great. Is that really making you a Christian? The Pharisees were exactly the same. They went to synagogue. They studied the scriptures. They performed sacrifices and made these laws that were like impossible to follow. They were religious. They were putting a weight on people's shoulders that could not actually be carried. So I want to take a quote out of this book that I've been reading by Jefferson Bethke. It's helped me sort of change my view a little bit. That's in his book, Jesus Greater Than Religion. If only the page would open. And he was talking about the Christianity he had grown up with, the things that he had seen with Christians, and what Christianity in some places has become. And he said, the reason that we aren't fulfilled or satisfied by our version of Christianity is because it isn't Christianity. We have religion, but we don't have Jesus. We have a good role model, but we don't have God. We have theological debates, but we don't have the living word. We have good works, but we don't have the source of the good works. We have love, but not the God who is love. And I think for me that serves as a warning. It says to me, Josh, hang on a second. The Christianity that I profess to follow, am I living that? The Jesus I say I love, do I actually know him? No, am I actually familiar with his ways? Am I doing what he said I should be doing? So this guy, Jeff, he said when he was in varsity, he was basically a hooligan. And he lived for one thing, basically girls. And that's what he would pursue. He said basically he wasn't starting to look for the perfect girl, but he was just looking for the easy girl. And he kind of met God along the way, and he kind of changed his way of thinking. And this was all happening while he was at a Christian college. You know, with Christian people. God kind of changed him around, and he ended up going to a secular university, which he actually said was a lot better for him. And he became a senior there. And he started, as a senior, he'd have some of the younger guys come to him with their problems, and he tried to share Christ with them. And he's finding that this thing we call Christianity, you try and bring Christianity to somebody. Say, come to church with me. And said, because of what the world has perceived Christianity to be, they weren't interested. They didn't want to hear about it. He says, yeah, but you Christians, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You just have a bunch of rules I'm supposed to follow. I can't do that. I can't be part of that. And so he started a different approach. He said, but what about Jesus? He started presenting them Jesus rather than the concept of Christianity. And he found people were a lot more receptive when they heard what Jesus said. What they saw when they started realizing what Jesus actually stood for, rather than the people that say they follow him are doing. And again, that was a challenge to me. It's saying, again, what is the image of Christianity I am portraying? Is the world seeing the Jesus that we read about in our Bibles? Or is the world seeing this thing that's been portrayed as Christianity, which is based in religion? I'm thinking, again, if it's based in religion, then we know better than the Pharisees. You know, putting down a whole bunch of rules for people to follow. You know, it's like having a person come into the church that maybe doesn't look right. I think in our church, a nice example of that is Mark. You know, if you have him walk into a church, he might not look right. You know, he's got a few tattoos. He looks like a biker. He looks like a rough oak, especially since he shaved his head. But that's because of our perception. We've almost judged the person when they've walked in the door. That is not what Jesus did. You know, Jesus saw the heart behind the person. You know, he was not seeing the outer appearance. I mean, I could come here, suit and tie, and I might look right. But what's going on inside my life can be completely wrong. It's like Jesus said to the Pharisees. You know, it's like you have the cup, and the outside of the cup is clean. So it all looks right. It looks like I'm righteous. But the inside of the cup is dirty. It's full of junk. Is that the kind of Christianity we portray? And so if we go have a look at Jesus, I thought one of the things that he said was very nice. He said that Christianity is almost being painted as safe. That's why we have these seeker-friendly churches, you know. A safe Christianity, a Christianity that doesn't offend. Well, Jesus was very far from that. And I jotted down a couple of things that made Jesus different, that made him unsafe. He called the religious leaders out. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. He called them the sons of Satan. Basically said, listen, what you guys are doing is completely wrong. I mean, can you imagine somebody coming into the church and telling Pastor Pat, it's just a bunch of religious stuff you're doing. I'm not saying that that's the case, but I'm saying, can you imagine people or a man coming in and calling out the leaders that people have put their trust in? But those leaders were leading their people falsely. He had lunch with people didn't want to have lunch with. And think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was worse than SARS. So it's like having lunch with Jacob Zuma and Shabir Sheikh type of thing. Jesus was having lunch with prostitutes. How many of you are going to be willing to go up the road and take one of the prostitutes to McDonald's to talk to her about her life? I'm telling you now, for most of us, that's going to be very difficult. For me, it's difficult. Maybe it's because I'm a little bit self-righteous and I don't want to spend time with people like that. Is that what church should be? No. I'm not saying that everybody should now go up and go take one of the prostitutes to McDonald's. Obviously, there are people that are called to a ministry like that. But those are the kind of people we need to be loving. Then Jesus also went and he did things that were contrary to the culture that day. If you think about the woman at the well. So Jesus on his way to Samaria. Number one, it was looked down on for a Jewish man to be speaking to a Samaritan woman. I was going to say it's almost as bad as South African apartheid, where we had legislated segregation. You know, to have a person of the opposite race almost as a friend was frowned upon by our legislation and back then as well. But Jesus didn't see that. No, and he's spending time with this sinful woman, you know, who had five husbands and had another one, who may have even been a prostitute. But Jesus was spending time with her. He broke the conventions of the day because of love. Are we breaking those conventions? Are we still stuck in a box? Are we being self-righteous and saying, looking down upon people? And I know myself, I'm guilty of that. It's something that kind of creeps in. But Jesus is unsafe. He was unsafe. So I have a quote from C.S. Lewis's book, Chronicles of Narnia, the first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it says, the kids asked if the lion, Aslan, who represents Jesus in the story, is safe. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. That is the Jesus that we serve. He's the king. He's the king who's going to come back and abolish sinfulness. He's the king that's coming for a spotless bride. He's a king that came to purify us. Not a king who came to tell us to follow a bunch of rules. Not a king who asked us to come to church 3 or 4 times a week, get together on a holy huddle, and that's enough. That's not enough. He called us to more than that. Going to open up, if you'd like to open up your Bibles in Matthew chapter 16. And it says this, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, You must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try and hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of the Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This statement is a crazy, ridiculous statement. The reason why I say that, Jesus asked his disciples, his followers, to take up a cross. If you look at what a cross was basically one of the worst forms of torture to death in the day. Jesus is saying, take up your cross and follow me. What he's saying is that the Christian walk that we're on is not an easy one. The time we're spending on earth is not an easy journey. It's an unsafe journey. When you come to Christ, your problems don't miraculously disappear. I think sometimes Christians come in and they get saved and then they look around them and see, okay, cool, to be a Christian, I need to dress a certain way. I need to cover up a little bit more. I need to take out, if I'm a guy, I need to take out my earrings. I need to listen to the right music. I need to stop swearing and drinking and all those kind of things. And maybe doing those things is good. But even if we do those things don't make us right with God. It's about a relationship. It's about more than just the outward appearance. I mean, Joyce Meyer's love saying, you know, if you sleep in the garage, does that make you a car? It doesn't. Just the same as coming to church and reading your Bible doesn't make you a Christian. We could do that for years and years and still get it wrong. In Matthew 7, it talks about where people will come into heaven and Jesus will say, get away from you, work of iniquity. And the people say, but Lord, we did this and that in your name. But somewhere along the line, they missed it. It's like the story of the 10 virgins. There were 10 virgins. There were 10 pure people. But somewhere along the line, 5 of them got it wrong. They didn't maintain that relationship. They didn't keep the Holy Spirit there. And so they missed it. Maybe they weren't willing to go the extra mile that God had called them to. I don't know. I just want to read about our righteousness as we currently stand. If you go to Isaiah 64, verse 6. And this verse kind of paints the picture of any religion or act of religion that we might be a part of. And it says this, Isaiah 64, verse 6. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. That is our righteous deeds. In the book, they say one of the translations of that word, filthy rags, can maybe be like menstrual garments. It's filthy. It's disgusting. And that's my righteousness. That's what I'm hanging on to by coming to church on a Sunday, if that's what I think is going to get me into heaven. I think it's a very real picture. It's maybe a harsh picture, but it's the reality of our human state. Without Christ, we can't do it. I heard of a guy that was also kind of like, it just got saved and he kind of had this vision. And in the vision, he was like wearing this white coat and it was like a very bright and shining coat. And he had Jesus next to him and he asked Jesus, whose is this? And Jesus said, that's mine. It's his righteousness that's on us. It's his righteousness that makes us pure. It's his righteousness that takes us that step further. I'm going to read another quote from this book. It says, when I was trying to earn Jesus by being good, I missed the real Jesus who wants us to love him and serve him, not for what he gives, but for who he is. Dangerous, unpredictable, radical, and amazing. The Christ that we serve is not all fairy tales and roses. The Bible says that violent men take the kingdom by force. And I think sometimes it's a reminder that Christians are not necessarily these cute, cuddly do-gooders. There's more to being Christian than just that. When I asked the question at the beginning, what is a Christian? Somebody once asked me, what is a Christian? And we came to the conclusion that people have many different definitions for Christian. And then he asked me a second question. What is a disciple? And there's one answer for that. A disciple is a follower of somebody. We've been called to become disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, taking up our cross daily. Maybe we've been called to be a little bit controversial and stand out from the crowd and love people the way that Jesus loved people and accept those that Jesus would have accepted and pulled in. My dad spoke this morning about things that have become accepted. And I want to say, sometimes we need to be loving those people that were doing those accepted things so that they come and have those accepted things removed from them and purified by Christ. If you read about some of the people that Paul dealt with, you know, how many times did he have to write about stealing and fornication and adultery and sexual immorality, drunkenness, revelry, the likes, debauchery. How many times do you not see that coming through the Gospels? Why did he have to write about those things? Because people were doing them. But despite the fact that people were doing them, God loved them in their sin. I think one of my favorite scriptures is probably Romans 5 verse 8. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. So I really believe that God has called us to something new. Maybe God has called us to step out of our comfort zones a little bit. Maybe we're already doing it. Maybe we are already part of that unsafe Christ. Maybe we need to start stepping out more. I know I do. I want to be fighting alongside the Lion of Judah. I want to have him on my side. I don't want to get to heaven and be on the wrong side of him. But that's not the reason that I believe. I believe because he loved me first. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I want to thank you that you send Christ into the world to come and save us, to come put the things right that man had twisted. Father God, I want to pray that you would help us to get to know you fully and truly, Lord. Lord, forgive us for where we've maybe been sinful, Lord, and where we've fallen short. But I thank you, Lord, that you broke the chains that held us captive. You have set us free, Lord, and you have given us the ability to walk in righteousness. But only because your Son that died on the cross and rose from the dead. Father God, I want to pray that you would help us to live a life that is holy, a life that impacts other people's lives, a life that puts right the world's perception of Christianity and shows them God's perception of what he planned, that shines forth the love of God in every single thing that we do, so that people cannot deny the lives that we're living and say, yeah, but you do this and you do that and you do this. But rather let our light shine, Lord. Lord, let us not judge people on their outward appearance, but give us the eyes of Christ to see their hearts, Lord, and give us the eyes of Christ to see them like you see them, Lord. And ask us now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.